I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. I'm Silva Haripetyan. Today's guest, a very special one, Nikan Noor. She is the CEO of International Game Developers Association. There, she is the leading voice for diversity and inclusion in the video gaming industry. In 2020, she was crowned and recognized on the list of Forbes 30 Under 30. Nika started college as a teenager, as a 14-year-old to be exact. By 22, she had two master's degrees, and as if that wasn't enough, she now is getting her PhD. So, joining us today is Nikan Noor. Thank you so much for making time to speak with us today. Do you ever sleep?
Thanks so much. Thanks, Silva. And I figured that I'm just one of many. I don't know if I've met any, Iranians in Orange County that don't have a laundry list of a resume. I figured we were just built that way. But no, the short answer is I don't sleep, as most entrepreneurs know. The little things keep you up at night, everything from staffing and payroll to whether or not our insurance paperwork is in, leading all the way up to the big ticket items, which is supporting diversity, equity, and inclusion in the video game industry. I am, really, really floored and really appreciative of how you've laid it out. But to be honest, I owe a lot of my success to the grind that comes with being an Iranian American. That culture really does sustain you throughout your life because it is a place where you drive merit off of the values of hard work and endurance and building that resilience. And I really do hope that Iranian Americans can come together to actually share their stories, tell their stories, because I know I'm not alone. We are literally a tribe of people that are built off of overachieving.
Yeah, that is true. I have yet to meet an Iranian who is not an overachiever. Do you think that that is something that is embedded in us because we just inherently know as immigrants or first generation that we just have so much riding on our shoulders to achieve? Or do you think that comes from the work ethic that is built into our families and our communities?
It's definitely a little bit of both, right? Achievement comes from your work ethic. At the same time, when you are coming to the United States and starting over or starting fresh, starting anew, we were sold the American dream. We were sold a place of promise and opportunity. I don't think that there are a lot of regions of the world where a female Muslim Iranian American gets to run an international foundation supporting video games. There are actually parts of the world that don't even have access to gaming, which is really, it's not so much unfortunate, but it is such a gift to understand that access to entertainment, software, the internet, these are the constructs that really are helping us evolve, innovate, and create new ideas. There is a gift that comes to play, and we lose the culture of play as we age, as we become adults. But I think what we forget is our culture is also one of the most playful cultures that I would argue, at least, that we are a culture of play as well. There is a sense of family. There is a sense of dynamic gatherings and bringing people together. And that culture really does drive me through my day-to-day, my experience, my calls to my mom, my parents, who will always be forever confused why I did not become a doctor or a lawyer. But they gave me the opportunity to fly. Granted, there was a lot of resistance at home, but there are just other opportunities here. And I do believe that though I didn't measure up as a pre-med, professional plastic surgeon or cardiovascular, whatever, I took those values as an Iranian American, right? I said, hey, I want to find opportunities and do what makes me happy, but it's not even about what makes me happy. I wanted to pursue that passion, and I found those opportunities, and I'm very, very grateful.
Oh my gosh, you've touched on so many different layers and contextual opportunities to continue this conversation. I want to unpack some of what you just said. First and foremost, you know, the gaming industry, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I did a little research, is a $160 billion industry, correct? And it is larger than the music industry, and a lot of people may not know. It is also one of those industries where women, people of color, and minorities have historically been underrepresented, right? If I read correctly, the latest statistics said only 41% of women are into gaming. And for someone like you, and you just described yourself, first generation, immigrant family, a woman, a Muslim, and pretty young, right, in your list of accomplishments based on where you are, right, to be in this position, it is kind of, you have gone against the grain. Talk to me how difficult it is to be pushing through, to be in a leadership position in a environment and in an industry where there's not only just resistance from sort of culturally and at home and those dynamics, but also within the industry as well. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and how you negotiate those waters?
Absolutely. And you're right and spot on, Silva, that the gaming industry is not kind and not well representing people of color, women, diversity, which is really sad because the gaming population, people who play games, are actually very diverse, right? But the game development community is not represented, is not as represented of the people who play the games. And it's so interesting that you know, you call it going against the grain. My belief is that, you know, there should be no grain to go against. I grew up in a household and a culture that we do what we love. It was a very matriarchal household. I think I, you know, very much lucked out with parents who had three young daughters and supported our pursuits and our careers, regardless of gender, right? I didn't understand gender conforming boundaries when it came to schoolwork because my dad was always right there making sure that my math and my science skills were up. He knew that, like, if I wanted to play in the chess tournaments, you know, there was no like, oh, that's a boy's thing or like girls don't do that. He drove me every night, late night, hours and hours to make sure I hit my tournaments because I was just so obsessed. And so having that confidence from an early age is really, really critical. And being an Iranian American loudmouth was very helpful. That did go against the grain. I'm 5'2". I'm very small, quite petite. In a world where people do look at the physical presence, or they look at, if you don't have the physical presence, you draw internally on your confidence, on who you are and how you identify. And I think that confidence came from culture, came from the household. And that's really what pushed me through. And that's the resiliency that's helped me build out, not just in the video game industries, but any industry that I've interfaced with. And that level of confidence, that sense of purpose and knowing who you are, has allowed me to progress in that way. It's always been my North Star.
Did you ever find yourself, and I ask this question because I see so much of me in you as well, and I think almost every young professional Iranian who's of our age, who's maybe first generation or, you know, immigrant in this country, you know, I came here when I was 14 and I chose to go in the field of broadcasting. And of course, that's not being a lawyer or a doctor or a surgeon or a plastic surgeon, right? So it's this idea that you are stepping outside of the boundaries of what sort of the community sees as achievement and respectable, right? In order to, for you to follow your passion. But then you also have an innate calling for something that is bigger than you, something that is pulling you. You call it a North Star, right? Following your North Star. And there are a lot of people in those situations where they are struggling and they are conflicted between doing the thing that they think they're supposed to do versus doing the thing that they are being called to do. Can we talk a little bit about that and help people sort of negotiate this internal tug of war that exists when you are growing up and have to live in an immigrant family, one foot in the culture and one foot in the West?
It's tough. It's really, really tough. And you know, I was the first kid that they had, right? Everything rests on the oldest for a while, all the disappointments, all the supposed failures. But you know, my parents, as much as they wanted a pre-med route for me, they also raised me to be an independent, self-sustaining woman. Right, they raised me specifically to be a badass, and that's what comes with independence. It's making your own decisions. I still remember, right, going to a hospital, realizing like the some sites of the hospital just made me really ill. I said, this is not gonna be for me. Just a small paper cut makes me, you know, pass out. And when I changed, I still remember when I changed my major, my mom, my gosh, she was just like, voy, 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 Nico, you are going to work at McDonald's. What you are going to do with your life? And I was like, look, there's nothing wrong with McDonald's. If your calling is working at McDonald's, then that's what makes you happy. But I do believe that the culture and the work ethic and the values our parents came with aren't the values and the quality of life that's going to be sustainable moving forward. Pulling all-nighters to get a quadruple master's degree isn't a quality of life. It's not sustainable. I appreciate, you know, what my parents' generation did for the current generation, but it's on us as the next generation of leaders, as Iranian Americans, especially in Orange County, to say, okay, this quality of life cannot be. This isn't how we open up pathways and pipelines for the future Nikas and the future Silvas. It is absolutely okay to pursue callings and passion and be energized and get 8 hours of sleep at night. And you will always have that family guilt, but it's up to you as the individual to embrace and reconcile and learn, right? Like for me, it's learning the role of a good daughter, right? I know I cannot change my parents and their culture and their values. They had a different life than me. They grew up in a different country than me. But I have to accept that I'm in a different space. I grew up with a different lifestyle. I grew up with different values. And I see that their way of working will no longer exist. We have the internet now. The world is different. There's a global pandemic, and you can't plan for emergencies. You can't prepare for bad case scenarios. But what you can do is, you know, step into the role of a good daughter, alleviate whatever, you know, the needs and worries of your parents are, but stick to the independence that they wanted you to have. Because our parents and ourselves as people, we don't stick around forever. And all we can do is chip away at this big cultural ice block to make sure that it's set up for success for everybody else.
You know, part of your role in this organization is to be a leading voice for equality and equity and representation. Can you talk to me about what led you or what drew you into that space? And why do you think that's important, not just in the gaming industry, but in general?
Absolutely. So I owe a lot of my mental health, my personal resilience, even my ability to socialize to video games. I absolutely loved it. When after 9/11, as somebody growing up in Orange, as a Muslim female growing up in Orange County, I was quite bullied a lot. I remember showing up to a boys and girls club and a, you know, very young gentleman, you know, called me a terrorist, and I didn't even understand what that meant, right? We are also now seeing in this current society, you are seeing more hate crimes, more conversations, more racist comments made. And so every time I see a disenfranchised group being attacked or harassed or going through some format of toxicity, I feel for them. I have deep empathy for them, just purely based off of my own anecdotal experience. It wasn't awesome. But when I was being bullied and had no friends and could not understand why I was being treated differently, why I was being told by other peers, right, 11-year-old peers, that I was different or that I was weird, I played games. I made friends online, probably younger than I should have. If you're under 14, please don't talk to strangers online. But right, like, take your safety and your privacy very seriously. But games are really what got me through a pretty nebulous kind of teenage. I don't even know that teenage phase of my life. It was weird. It was awkward. It was very extra. And the 90s and 2000s, you know, that was a period of time in all industries where it was okay to make racist comments. It was okay to make sexist jokes. There was no accountability there. And I love that the conversation is evolving. And if there's anything I can do about it, I want to be a part of the conversation. I'm not someone who's just going to tweet. I prefer action.
Talk to me about what that conversation looks like in the gaming industry, in gaming developing industry in particular.
Right. In the game development community, we are really, really, really focused, especially at the IGDA Foundation, on increasing representation in game development. We really believe that every person who wants to play or make games should. And to that extent, who you are in terms of your race, religion, gender, background, shouldn't be an obstacle in determining whether or not you get employment. Who you are as a human being, the body you're born into, should not be a reason why you're not getting a path or access. And that's really where the conversation is today. The workforce needs work. And there are people who want to make games that aren't getting jobs either based on discrimination or harassment, or they're having a tough time as employees. And we are also, it's not even just about getting people in the door. Our burnout rate for employment is 2 to 5 years. People leave, right? If you are in the games industry for more than 5 years, you are considered a veteran. And that's not sustainable. And that's not how you treat talent. That's not how you treat marginalized talent.
Words of wisdom for anyone who wants to be in a leadership position and to sustain that role and be successful in that role.
Gosh, words of wisdom. People will always underestimate you, no matter what position you're in. You could be an intern at a dental office, or you could be running a international nonprofit and foundation. You have to find ways to take care of yourself and let the noise go wayside. And no matter what career, whatever you choose, et cetera, I think it's okay for this generation of Iranian Americans to let go of that cultural guilt of how we were raised and told of what our lives should be, and embrace that we have different knowledge and a different upbringing, and stay true to whatever our passion or our purpose is as people.
Thank you to Nika Noor for joining us today. If you are interested in connecting with her, I will be putting all of her information somewhere below this video. So be sure to connect with her and me and send us your ideas for our next episode. I'm Silva Haropetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.